Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Herbie, let's duck, duck, go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago. Middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Does it mean that I'm old, that I am now finding myself really wanting the actual handheld product? Like, I want my Tribune in the morning. I want my Sun-Times. I get the Sun-Times on Sunday. I do read their downloadable one. But I get the Sun-Times and Tribune on Sunday. I get the Tribune out throughout the week. And I still get SI. Like, I still love Sports Illustrated. And I still get it. I mean, the photography alone is worth it. But there's always a bunch of really interesting, like, thought-provoking stories in it. Connor Orr is one of my favorite football writers, period. I follow him on Twitter. You should, too. He wrote a piece about quarterback development and how the NFL has changed in quarterback development that I think is fantastic. And considering that the Bears have one of these incredible, like, athlete types playing the position, I thought that we could talk about it. And if you haven't picked up your SI, it's in there. It's the cover story. And he was nice enough to join me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Connor, thanks so much for spending some time with me. I really love this piece.
Yeah, thanks for giving it a shout-out. And you're right, everybody needs to go out and buy the magazine all the time, every month.
Yes, get a subscription and read the magazine because it still gives you, you can look at stuff online if you want, but if you need it in your hands like I do, it is there for you. So let me tell you what... In reading this piece, you know what it made me think of in a very strange way because it's a completely different sport? It made me think of the Tom Emanski Baseball School. And the reason that it did is that I feel like for so long, here's the way that you develop throwing. Here's the way that you develop fielding. Like, all of this stuff. And what I took from your piece was, in the NFL, we may still be using in quarterback development methods that don't make sense for the game that's being played. How did you come to that conclusion on doing a story like that?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, we got to talk to Aaron Rodgers, and one of the things that he had taught us through his own sort of unique footwork was that he was at Cal with Jeff Tedford, and back then he had every single quarterback hold his elbow up against his ear because the prevailing theory at the time was you could get the ball out quicker if your arm was closer to the release point, and then you could learn to throw that way. And while he said that helped him somewhat in his career, like, he was way more comfortable holding the ball at his chest. And so he thought, well, what if I just try to play around with my mechanics a little bit? And ended up doing some really strange and interesting things, including what we mentioned in the story where he kind of releases his foot before he actually throws the ball, which is against every single teaching tape that you'll watch on quarterbacking. And it's helped the Packers develop plays that no other team in the NFL can run because no other quarterback at the time was able to generate that much power with your body in a weird position. And so it kind of revolutionized the game to the point where Zach Wilson was doing it at his pro day. I mean, basically every quarterback now incorporates that into their repertoire. And I think that got a lot of people thinking, like, well, what else is sort of wrong about the stuff that we've been taught all these years?
Yeah. And the just the logical aspect of it where, yes, you can try to teach someone the fundamentals of the perfect pocket passing. And when you said that, like, I pantomimed because it was what I was taught when I was younger. The ball coming up to your ear because it's supposed to make releasing the ball is supposed to give you a quicker release. But the logic dictates that you're almost never, and I'm not going to say never, but almost never going to have a clean enough pocket that the fundamentals that we've been taught would come into play.
Exactly. And that was where I thought really interesting insight from Lamar Jackson's quarterback coach, because he said, you know, I have Lamar Jackson, but I also have kids that are in seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, and they ask me what I can do to get better. And I said, well, if you're not athletic, you better figure out how to get athletic, because we're never going to be in a clean pocket again. Everybody's too fast. Everybody's too strong. And so you have to prepare for chaos. And so why don't we practice chaos? And what's interesting is, basically every top quarterback coach in the country that I talked to said their hour and a half or whatever they get with a quarterback now, about a third of that time is spent on off-platform throwing. And so whereas before it might be 5 minutes and you're goofing off at the end of practice, now it's built in. And now, you know, the kids as young as sixth, seventh, and eighth grade are basically having scramble drills for a large portion of their time there with these elite coaches.
So how do you go, I guess, in some cases, unlearning some of this stuff, or are there things from the fundamental throwing options that still will be useful to someone who's trying to play the position at the highest level?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I think their plan was always to say, like, you need to get those fundamentals. Like, you need to learn, you know, just how you're comfortable getting rid of the football in a quick manner. Like, you have to get comfortable with your own body. So, you know, one quarterback coach that I said, you know, that's whatever it is from age eight, you know, until 10, 11, you know, that's kind of your job, is just to get comfortable throwing the ball, get your platform underneath you so you're able to kind of get some velocity. You can work with a coach to figure that out. But from there, I think it's, you know, let kids play, let them play baseball, let them play soccer, and allow those different movements that they're experiencing from all these different sports. Ask Russell Wilson. He's the first person to tell you that a lot of what he does comes from baseball, and you can incorporate that all into your throwing motion and your pocket creativity, and you end up becoming such a better quarterback as a result.
You bring up baseball. Justin Fields played baseball as well, and you can see the Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, when it comes to the different platforms and throwing, these guys used to be kind of anomalies in, well, here's a guy that has all this athletic ability. Sometimes that guy would get moved. You know, that guy would get moved to receiver, or he'd be moved to DB. Are we seeing at all levels of football that guy, if he has the tools to play quarterback, is now being given more of an opportunity to do it?
Yeah. And I think it was Justin Fields, his quarterback coach, actually, who told me, he's like, you know, he said, I was a high school quarterback because I couldn't play anything else. I was tall, I was too slow to be a wide receiver, and I kind of had a strong arm, and so that's where they put me in. You used to do that, right? You used to put kids who couldn't really go anywhere else and were tall at quarterback. And now what you're doing is you're saying, who's the best athlete team, hands down, and that guy gets the ball on every play. And so that has absolutely changed the parameters of quarterbacking throughout, whether it's Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson or even Drew Brees to a certain extent, right? Like, you know, guys who are in that sort of differentiated body type bracket, and they're now able to get the ball on every play, and you're seeing offenses sort of bloom as a result of that.
So okay, that's another one of those things logic would dictate, where we would like the most athletic, the best player, the best athlete that we have available to have the ball in his hands more often. Why did it take so long to get to this point of understanding that you could still develop guys that have these type of skills and make it work?
I think what's interesting there is that the reason it took so long was because, you know, everybody else, all these other coaches were just saying, well, this is the way that it's done because this is the way that it's always been done. And I think that those coaches retain power their trees sort of took over for them. And you had this lineage over time of people just continuously saying, well, this is the way that my coach did it, and this is the way that his coach did it. And so this is the way we're always going to do it. And I thought Patrick Mahomes' coach had the most interesting observation there. And he said, if I taught Patrick Mahomes to throw like Peyton Manning, we wouldn't be talking. There wouldn't be a Patrick Mahomes. He wouldn't exist.
He's right about that. And it's, I wonder, how did these the quarterback coaches, these gurus, how did they figure out that they needed to change themselves and what it is that they had been taught, like the unlearning process, and then looking what seems to be really like an individual learning modality for these quarterbacks and saying, I've got this raw material. Why am I turning it into a robot instead of figuring out what makes this player good and emphasizing that?
I think Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with that because, you know, I think he has never had a quarterback's coach, which is really fascinating. But guys who he would train with, you know, during the season would go to their quarterback coaches in the off season and say, hey, you know, he's doing this. Like, why can't we kind of work this in? And one of the coaches that I talked to about this, Will Hewitt, who actually has Caleb Williams from Oklahoma, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, he was like, well, that's a good point, because how can we get another Aaron Rodgers if we don't let some kids try to be Aaron Rodgers? And so why don't we take the tape of the best players in the NFL and work backwards instead of trying to work forwards, right, and try to create something out of what we believe to be the right mechanics? And I think that that was a really interesting approach, and certainly – beyond Aaron, you know, Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson are owed a ton of, you know, debt of gratitude to that, because, you know, the amount of kids practicing sidearm throws, off-platform stuff like Lamar is right now, are it's off the chart.
Well, 5 years ago, Connor, I mean, he's being told go play receiver or go play running back. Lamar Jackson is. So how much has the success of like what Greg Roman did with not just Lamar Jackson, but with Colin Kaepernick too, how big a deal is that in reshaping the way the position looks?
Well, I think the most important thing is it should leave no excuse for coaches anymore, right? Like, we've heard for a very long time, like, it takes time to run my offense, my system. That doesn't exist anymore, because not only have you seen the blueprint to make just about any quarterback and any body type successful, but the availability that you have to download film on any player from anywhere in the country and borrow concepts is faster and more easy than it's been in the history of mankind. And so I laugh at coaches who are just running inefficient offenses that aren't producing points, because, you know, that just means they're not working hard enough, or they're not willing to look at what is out there and what exists out there. Because I can guarantee you that, you know, outside of probably the bottom five or six rosters in the NFL, there is a coach out there who can make your offense run successfully.
Connor Orr, you are speaking to the Chicago audience, and I can see the hallelujahs and amens, because obviously this has been an issue here where you look at what's happened with Matt Nagy, and he is dead set on running a system instead of maybe adaptation. And you're right. Like, I hate to say this, because coaches will always tell you how hard they're working and how they're sleeping in facilities and all this nonsense, when really what you should be trying to do is work smarter. How can we get coaches overall to move out of that space of look, this is the way that I do it. This is the way, this is the only way that it can get done?
So I talked to the Eagles coaching staff after they won the Super Bowl in 2018 about their process. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that they had the entire offense basically broken down into a million component parts, right? Like explosive plays on third and long, explosive plays on second and long, you know, all these different categories. And they would get every single piece of film from college and the NFL that previous week delivered to their inbox on Monday morning. And here's 250 examples of teams that gained 20 yards on third and 10, you know, and they would go through every single one of those, and they would pick off little component pieces of these plays and say, okay, well, our guys can do this, and this team kind of looks like us. And then they would put it together like a puzzle. And lo and behold, you have a team that can win the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So, I, you know, it blows my mind that I think that other teams aren't delegating in a way that would allow them to come together and create something like this.
And I looked at Monday night's game, and I've been saying that, to me, the thing that I wish more coaches in the NFL would try to emulate from Bill Belichick is his adaptability. And seeing him say, look, we know what the weather's going to be. We know where we think we have a strength. It's the difference between scheme and game plan. And seeing him not be married to a scheme, it's such a simple concept that it drives me insane that more coaches don't want to be like Bill Belichick in that way.
And they pretend to be like him in every other way, right? And it's just like, you know, why don't you do the most simple thing, which is that you build a team capable of beating all the opponents on your schedule. And I know that sounds like it's obviously more difficult than it sounds, right? But you build a team that's flexible enough to win in a lot of different ways. And then you see what you saw on Monday night, where you can run the ball 46 times and win, and then watch what they do against the Bills the next time. They could probably throw the ball 40 times.
I mean, he was joking about it on his radio show, but he was right. He's like, we didn't show them anything in our pass game. And now he has a place to start with if the weather conditions aren't crazy 50-mile-per-hour wind gusts, of now with Mac Jones, who they haven't really seen versus them, he's gotten a strategic advantage.
Yeah, and a bye week too. So I mean, you know, it's a tired thing to keep saying, but you know, he's playing chess, and we're all here playing checkers. You know, it's really how it works still.
Before I let you go, Connor, and I appreciate your time. By the way, the piece is the cover piece for Sports Illustrated this week. Foot pops, sidearm shuffles, jump passes, how the NFL learned to love creative quarterbacks, by Connor Orr. Before I let you go, what are people around the league telling you about the situation with the Bears and their leadership?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think that if you look at, you know, I mean, I just did my coaching cell primer, and I would have that job as likely to highly likely to, you know, and I think that the common prevailing theory among, you know, powerful coaching agents, owners, all that stuff, is that you probably can't have a GM, you know, in a coach. Like, you don't want them, you want them inherited together, right? You want them to come in married at the hip. So I think, you know, that would probably indicate that kind of change. You know, I don't know what the rest of the season is going to look like. I mean, Justin Fields or whoever, you know, I mean, the Bears could look great over the last few games, and we could have an actual discussion about it, but it would seem to me like it's a job that other people are preparing to be open and looking to that as a potential opening.
Connor, thanks again for the time. The piece is really fantastic. I learned a lot, and I appreciate you jumping on and talking with Chicago about it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That is Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated. I always like it when I get some confirmation that I'm not crazy on some of this stuff, that like I'm seeing stuff and smart people who cover the NFL are also seeing these things. And unprompted, he talked about these dogmatic-ass coaches that can't get out of their own way. I want to talk about this a little further. I want to expand the topic. And there are a couple of great lines in here that I want to read. But I want to talk about the trickle-down effect of what we've seen in quarterback development over the last 50 years. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
We just had a really great conversation with Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated. You should check out his piece, How the NFL Learned to Love Creative Quarterbacks. There's a lot in there from a big picture standpoint. And I see some people that texted into the show that were saying, look, these are all things that good coaches understand in other sports. It's not just football. It's breaking away from sometimes what is conventional wisdom inside of an industry and it perpetuating itself by, well, this is the way that this guy does it. This is the way that I learned it. Like I was saying, like I learned and I taught it. Like I learned ball at the ear to help with the release. And now I'm thinking about it. Like when I was coaching high school ball, we had a kid named Amon that played quarterback for me at Washington. And he would have benefited from me not teaching him that dumb bleep. My cousin Ryan, who was a quarterback over there, same thing. He would have benefited from that. Anyway, it ends up being a thing. And I like that there are some that are working in the capacity of getting the most out of the quarterbacks, that they're looking at the individual. And this is a good teaching note, too. Yes, there are things that everyone in the class should learn, and these are the ways that we go about teaching them. But if you have a student that might need more or less, needs you turning the volume up or turning the volume down, it is incumbent upon that teacher to be able to do those things. And you're watching currently, you are watching a head coach that is so far in the weeds on his system that he can't get out of his own way. We were talking yesterday about coaching and the damage that bad coaching can do to players and what it does to, specifically talking about the quarterback position, if that's more harmful to a quarterback than getting your brains kicked in, the David Carr effect that everyone is so terrified of. Herbie brought up a name, and I thought of another one. Alex Smith. If you look at Alex Smith for what, the first half of his career, he's getting bad coaching. And then he gets to a place where he gets good coaching. The light turns on and you go, oh, wow, here's a guy who understands it. He goes from having great coaching in college and pretty much, according to Urban Meyer, like he's the one that kind of invented the RPO pass aspect of it. So he gets great coaching in college where the coach goes, oh, we have a guy that can do some things. Why don't we let him do those things? And you have an undefeated season and make him a top pick in the draft. Then you get bad coaching. And then the player looks like a bust. Then the player gets good coaching. And he ends up having, I won't say that it's a Hall of Fame career because it's not. But there are plenty of people that will say he's a very good to borderline-ish Hall. But you understand what I'm saying. I wonder if that opens the door for a guy like Mitch. Where maybe, I still think that he's flawed, but maybe with proper coaching, he can get the most out of what is clearly an NFL set of skills. But this, the guy that's coaching the Bears right now and is coaching Justin Fields right now was still out here over the last couple weeks trying to prove a point. No. We just need the right quarterback. And then you get him, and what happens? The same thing. I also think about how many great quarterbacks got moved. Now, I'll tell you, I worked with one of them. He loves to tell you the stories. Alex Brown was a quarterback in high school. A really good one. But, I mean, his frame actually is a little bit more quarterback than it is defensive end. By defensive end stand, they were always trying to put weight on Alex.
I mean, think about him as Florida when he was number 13. I was like, that man is slight, but he gets the quarterback every single time I turn the TV on.
Look, I'm not here to tell you that he would have had the same career as a quarterback that he did as a defensive end. But there are a lot of guys like that. There are a lot of guys that they were super athletic. And then coaches decided, we'll take that athleticism and we'll put it at another position. Like, I'm starting to wonder, like, what if DeAndre Hopkins was actually a quarterback? And you're seeing some of that with some of the guys that play the position now. Guys like that being given an opportunity. Like Calvin Johnson, for example. Maybe there was a quarterback in there. Now, there's a Hall of Fame wide receiver in there, too. But maybe there was a Hall of Fame. And you remember who beat him out for Georgia Player of the Year? High school?
I do not.
Sean McVay.
Because he's probably a traditional 40-touchdown passing quarterback.
No, I think he was one of these, you know, jitterbug-type dudes that ran RPOs and, you know, he was fast and tough. But we end up trying to, even the way that we talk about quarterbacking, when we talk about the draft, we talk about, what are you looking up Sean McVay highlights now?
I know. I got exact home 40 touchdowns he threw.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's outstanding. How many interceptions?
It doesn't break that down. It just says he broke, 2,600 yards, 40 touchdowns, adding 2,500 yards and 18 touchdowns through the air. So he was, more of a running quarterback than a passing
one. He's one of these guys. He's one of these guys. If you're watching on Twitch, he's one of these guys.
He was the first player in school history to do 1,000 yards rushing and passing consecutive years.
Yeah, he was a baller.
Small guy, too, right?
Yeah, he's like my size.
In Georgia, oof.
Yeah, he must have been running for his life. To put up those type of numbers in Georgia high school football, he must have been amazing. But even when we start talking about it and we start talking about prototypes for quarterbacks, we start with the greatest that have ever done it. Can this person be Tom Brady? Well, in the history of the league, there's been one guy that's been that. Drew Brees, to me, is an easier comp, even though he's one of the greatest that's ever done it. He was fighting against convention. And he had to do it with his brain. Like Drew had to do it with, I'm going to be pinpoint accurate and I'm going to outthink the game and I'm going to be connected with a great play caller and play schemer.
I mean, he was a stud in Texas high school. None of the Texas schools really wanted
him. He had to come to Purdue.
Yeah. And Joe Tiller's like, yeah, he's a special guy. Let's play him at quarterback.
Cowboy Joe Tiller. Think about how many of these. Think about if John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome and Greg Roman and all those people in the room would have been like, you know what? Bill Polian's right. Even though here's a guy that showed you a lot of gifts when he was at Louisville. There's something special about, and we can take this down to the lowest levels of teaching and coaching. There's something special about instructors. Instructors that understand that you need to learn the lessons that everyone else is learning differently. They recognize it. Think about the best teachers that you've ever had. They figure out a way to get through to you. How they're able to speak to you, even if they're speaking to a class of 30 people. And what the NFL has said, or the football complex itself has said, is here are the set of rules that we have for developing a quarterback. And it doesn't matter what the skills of that quarterback are, if they don't fit into this box, then we get to call them a bust. And like Connor said, there is a learned helplessness that happens with NFL coaches where they're like, well, we'll just do it more. We'll go harder. Instead of taking a step back and saying, are we doing this smart? Now, I don't know exactly what's going into the coaching of Justin Fields, but I will tell you, everything that you saw of Justin Fields at Ohio State and what you've seen him do successfully in the games where he's played well tells you what? It tells you that whatever they were asking him to do at the beginning of the season was a bit silly. But this is where we get into the learned helplessness and the laziness. And coaches being stubborn of, it has to look this way. But what if it works this way? Nope. It has to look like this. Why do you think the Bears keep giving you the same quarterback? It has to look like Andy Dalton. Okay, so what does that look like? Well, he processes stuff fast and he gets the ball out fast. Nick Foles, he processes stuff fast. He understands what it is and where people are going to be open. What happens when disaster strikes? Well, we're just not going to let that happen. Well, it happens on most plays. You have someone playing the position that can't do anything if disaster strikes. And instead of leaning into what players like, I give Pete Carroll a lot of credit too. Because remember what they had done before they got Russell Wilson. Here's Matt Flynn. here's Matt Flynn. He's a pocket guy, and he can make all the throws. They gave him $10 million. And then they got Russell Wilson in there, and they were like, I know that he doesn't look the part. He's 5'10", 5'11", probably, maybe. He kind of runs around a little bit, looking for windows to open up so he can throw the ball. He went to a school where it was like, quarterbacks don't usually come from Wisconsin. I know he was at NC State before that. But they look at this stuff and go, you know who looks like a quarterback? Mike Glennon. Am I lying, Herbie?
You're not. They're doing the Moneyball thing.
Yes!
Where, he's got good face. He looks the part.
He looks the part. Now, the only thing is, Justin Fields does look the part. Like, if you were drawing one up, it would have all of the stuff. Like, if you were creating a quarterback action figure, it would look like Justin Fields. Big arm, big frame, tough as nails, can run. But instead of taking all of the things that he does well, it's like, all right, action figure, let's put you over here. How do you compare to that Peyton Manning action figure? Different guy.
And why would you want to? Why would you want to compare him to one of the best of all time?
Why would you want to compare him to probably the best processor of information ever at the position?
I mean, do you remember Bill Zimmerman, former score guy here?
Yeah.
He works for a SiriusXM now.
I just did his podcast last week.
He tweeted out last night, Matt Nagy's passing offense is averaging 173.8 yards per game. Good for last in the NFL. By comparison, Sid Luckman's 1943 to 1947 averaged 189.5 passing yards per game. So Matt Nagy's passing offense is literally less efficient than the Bears' passing offense from the 1940s.
And they can't. The other part of the NFL that's problematic is the echo chamber effect of it. Who's telling Matt Nagy that his baby's ugly? No one. And because of that, he's going to keep doing what he's doing. Now, my hope for him is that he will be humbled enough. I don't even want Matt to go coach somewhere next year. If I were advising him, I would tell him that he should go on a walkabout in the NFL and college football. That he should go and look and try and draw inspiration from a bunch of places and add it to what he thinks works. By the way, yes, the system was pretty successful with the aforementioned Alex Smith. How did it take a leap when you dropped in a generational talent at quarterback?
And most people think that if he would have started from the beginning, it would have been the same thing.
Correct. Because they would have tried to put him in the box. So let's give them credit for that. There's so much more on this I could do because we haven't even gotten to like the racial component of it or the youth sports component of it. I'll try and put that together for you for tomorrow's show because I keep thinking about all of the people that are spending money on specialization for their child, whether we're talking about pitching or playing quarterback, and they would probably be better served and richer figuratively and literally, by just letting the kid play. We'll get back to this on tomorrow's show, I promise. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
It's hard for me to describe how I feel about DePaul's start. Blue Demons are 7-1 now. They play Louisville, and then after that, they get UIC. It's so weird. I'm spending more time watching this DePaul team than I've watched recent DePaul teams. And I guess it's fun. But here's the problem with being a DePaul fan. When you're a DePaul fan, it's like, I'm just waiting for the bottom to fall out. Now, one of my best friends went to the game over this weekend against Loyola, and he's as excited as I've seen him in a while. Like, he hit me up. He's like, nah, our guys are good. And he knows. Like, this is a guy that coaches ball. Like, he's really excited. And I'm like, man, do I want to invest? Do I want to invest in DePaul buckets as, like, a thing? And everyone saw me on the video yesterday, and I didn't even realize I was wearing, like, a ton of DePaul gear on the air. So I guess here's where I'm at on it. Let's see how they do against Louisville. If we continue to see this level of competitive play, angry basketball, and Javon Freeman Liberty out there just getting buckets, that'll be another flashpoint for us. But you know how it is. It's what happens when January comes. But I gotta tell you, man, it's nice to be in this space where you are open to the idea that your alma mater may have gotten some stuff right. And I'm now planning nights around DePaul buckets, like watching them beat up on Duquesne last night by 20. Talk with Parkinson Spiegel next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.